I've talked often on this show about how this incredibly litigious society that we live in has created warning labels on all sorts of things that if you just had a brain, you would think to yourself, well, of course I'm not going to put somebody inside the washing machine. Why do I need to have a note that tells me that? Or I'm not going to see the iron lying around the house and apply it to my cheek. Any of my cheeks, come
even
to think
if they're
of it.
Cold.
Regardless. But there are warning labels on virtually everything. You can't pick up any consumer product today without there being something on there. Now, where do most of those warning labels come from? They come from some corporation either having been sued or being afraid of being sued. The good news for Bob DiRico Jones is that there are so many of them that he's got a website and a book based on them, including his new one called Remove Child Before Folding. It just was published yesterday. Here he is this afternoon on KMOX. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Paul. Thanks for having me on. And you know, that Remove Child Before Folding is a warning label from a child stroller. So you, just in case you have to be warned to take Billy out of the stroller before folding it up.
One of those umbrella strollers with the big curved handles on top?
Exactly.
Yeah. Am I right that this is just a matter of corporate fear?
Absolutely. If you make a product in America today, you're constantly looking over your shoulder for the next lawsuit. You hear stories about a guy who was playing basketball, dunked the ball, caught his teeth in the net, and then sued. He walked away with $50,000. So in this kind of erratic, crazy legal climate, you just try to cover all the bases.
When you were putting the book together, you've got 101 of them in there, and you call them 101 stupidest, silliest, and wackiest warning labels ever. Do you break them down by stupid, silly, and wacky?
No, we let the reader do that. And by the way, this is a great book. Whether you're a student, you're new parents, and you're looking around the nursery, and you find a warning label on a thermometer that says, "Do not use orally after using rectally."
Ew.
You can appreciate.
Wow.
Yeah. So even lawyers will love this book. The plaintiffs' lawyers who file the lawsuits may want to get some of the inside stories about why we need these warning labels, and the lawyers who are out there fighting the good fight, and there are a lot of those out there, will appreciate what we're trying to do with this contest, and that's get people talking about how life has changed in America by living in the most lawsuit-happy society on earth.
Now, you would agree with me that there are some warning labels that having them there is a good idea.
Absolutely. We want people to read warning labels. There are a lot of things you may not necessarily know, and you need a warning label. We probably disregard and don't consider for our contest more labels than we do because we want people to know, for example, you're not supposed to drink the bleach. I mean, you know, we know that, but there are warning labels, for example, like on PMS Mitol, a real funny warning label that says, do not use if you have an enlarged prostate. Well, if you're going to have prostate, you're not going to have PMS.
But, I know some men.
So, warning labels have a purpose. The problem is that the personal injury lawyers who have product makers running scared have created such an environment of fear that we have warning labels. You know, you look at the products you buy around the holidays, there are so many warnings you can't fit them on the product anymore. You have pages and pages of owner's manuals that are filled with warning labels. So as these get longer and more absurd, we're concerned that people aren't reading the warnings that they need. So by offering a cash prize that any of your listeners could qualify for by sending us their wacky warning label, a $500 grand prize, we think we're getting people to read those warning labels again.
Bob's website is www.mlaw.org, and every year they put together a contest, and the top three finishers get cash, and the one I mentioned before, do not put any person in this washer, that was the winner just last week for 2006. What are some of the others that were your entries this year?
Yeah, how about the warning label on a cell phone? It says, don't try to dry your phone in a microwave oven. Have you ever thought about doing that?
Well, now, somebody obviously did that. But I want to know the story behind that. What happened when somebody tried to microwave their phone? Did it explode?
I'm assuming it melted.
Yes. And all of these warning labels are either the direct result of a lawsuit or with the knowledge that somebody did this and could sue. So in a case like, for example, there's a Dremel wood router that says, warning, not intended for use as a dental drill.
Oh, seriously.
A guy down in Texas decided to save a little money on his dental bill, I guess, and did this, and didn't get the result he wanted. He did sue.
Okay, now, all right, so he sued. Anybody in America can sue about anything, and that's a right I don't think we want to have taken away. Here's the problem. It obviously either got to a courtroom or to a corporate boardroom or legal department, and somebody, whether it was lawyers in that corporation or a jury or a judge, agreed with the plaintiff. And I want to know how that is happening. Because I've said many, many times, give me the gavel for one day, we would have a lot less of this.
Exactly. Judges are supposed to be gatekeepers. Judges' jobs are to determine which lawsuits have merit and which don't, and then let them go to the jury. The problem is that a lot of judges are surrendering and giving everything to the juries, which in turn creates a lot of costs for anybody that makes a product, and consumers wind up paying more for everything from medical care to jeans and cars, and that's the problem. Everybody in America knows about the spilled coffee lawsuit against McDonald's, but how many of your listeners have heard about the spilled milkshake lawsuit against McDonald's? And that was a lawsuit that ultimately, after years and thousands of dollars in litigation costs, was thrown out. But here's the problem. The company asked the judge to fine the person who brought this obviously frivolous lawsuit, and the judge says, you know, you can't penalize someone for being creative. And that is the heart of the problem. Well, yes, you can. Laws in states around this country say it is illegal to file a frivolous lawsuit, and judges need to start getting tough using the laws that are at their disposal. And then we'll see fewer of these types of frivolous lawsuits and warning labels.
And especially since you can arrest someone for filing a false report, police report. So if a person files a false police report, and that's against the law, why aren't judges getting tougher?
Because it's subjective, I think. Somebody has to decide what's frivolous and what's not, and those gatekeeper judges that you're talking about aren't making that decision, right, Bob?
That's right. And, you know, to give them their due, this is a tough job. Yeah, they're making tough decisions all day long, but there are too many cases where simply the system fails. There is a point when you have a blind man who steps on somebody's foot and then sues, and that case is allowed to move forward, and that's a real lawsuit, then there's something that is just wrong. The system's broken. We have to bring in common sense.
I know. Ho, ho, ho. Hold on a second. Talking with Bob Dorigo-Jones, whose book is called Remove Child Before Folding, about some wacky lawsuits here on the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. A blind guy steps on somebody's foot, and then who sues?
The guy, okay, guy sitting in a mall. He sees a blind man walking toward him with the leader dog. He wonders, well, I wonder if that leader dog is going to move this blind man around me. So I'm going to keep my foot here and see if the dog does what it should. The dog had just been trained and unfortunately didn't direct the blind man around the guy's foot. The guy, blind man stepped on his foot. So the guy whose foot was stepped on not only sued the blind guy, he sued the school for leader dogs that trained that dog. So money that school could be using to train more dogs to help blind people was instead being devoted to defending themselves against a frivolous lawsuit.
And what happened?
After months, it was dismissed, and that's one of the good stories.
So the system worked in that case.
Well, that's part of the story, though. And here's what we really need to talk about. 9 out of 10 cases are settled. A lot of those are dismissed. But we have a system today where even if you win, you lose, because we talk to people every day who have won their lawsuit but spent $10,000, $20,000, $100,000, $200,000. So I'll tell you, and I'll guarantee you, they do not feel like winners after they've spent that, and they don't get a dime of it back in most cases.
Are you an advocate of loser pays?
No, we're an advocate of loser pays for frivolous lawsuits. We're an advocate of judges taking the laws that are already on the books and using those like they should.
Because loser pays doesn't work, because in America you do have individuals who are truly injured in their dealings with major corporations. I'm not talking about something like that or even the McDonald's coffee suit, but there is negligence done by somebody who has a lot of money, whether it's a person or a corporation. They've got a slew of lawyers, and they just crush you through the legal system because it is tilted towards those who have that ability. You're the little guy. The court is supposed to be working on your behalf as much as on theirs, but it doesn't really. And then once you get crushed, if you had to pay all of their legal fees, you'd be broke. Even if you had a completely legitimate reason for suing. That's one of the reasons I'm against loser pays. I do like the idea of frivolous suer pays if the judge does deem it to be frivolous.
That's right. And you know, we learn a lot by doing this contest. We talk to radio stations and reporters all over the world, from Germany to Australia and Japan. The system you just described, the loser pay system, should really be called it's called the British system. It started there. It should be called the rest of the world system, because most of us here don't realize this, but almost every country in the world has a loser pay system. There is no evidence, and we're not advocates of loser pay system yet. We just don't really think that the public is ready for that. But there's no evidence that the countries that have loser pay are any safer than America is. Plaintiffs' lawyers have never even offered evidence to show that we're safer here in America because of this landslide of lawsuits that we have every year.
Explain.
We don't have to go that far, though.
Explain to me, Bob, why we have so much more of this now than we did even a decade ago.
Mm-hmm. It started about 3 decades ago. It began when lawsuits started teaching their students that it was a good thing to sue rather than a bad thing. Up until really about the 50s, law schools used an old philosophy that Abe Lincoln used to talk about, where he said, discourage lawsuits, teach lawyers that it should be the last resort, not the first resort. That way of thinking changed with a feeling in some of the law schools that you could use lawsuits to advance social goods. And in some cases it did. There were lawsuits involving civil rights and so on that helped move us forward to where we wanted to be in society. The problem was that the lawsuit mentality started taking over into personal injury in cases where people were injuring themselves in suing, or where they wanted to, where they got injured through somebody, through an accident that you couldn't pin any fault on, and they just wanted to get into somebody's deep pockets.
Exactly, and those are the two words I was going to bring up. Deep pockets, the other two words I always bring up, personal responsibility, and the other two words are common sense. These three things, the latter two are being trumped by the deep pocket syndrome, aren't they?
That's right. It's all about money. There are laws today on the books in many states that are referred to as joint and several, that says if you get hurt, you can sue everybody involved. So even if somebody is 1% responsible for your injury, they had just a remote reason for being involved in the lawsuit, they could be held 100% responsible for all the money that a jury gives you if the other ones are bankrupt or can't be found. That's inherently unfair, but it's a law that's on the books in many states. The woman who started our organization here in Michigan is a name that's not familiar to your listeners, but the product that her husband invented is very familiar. It's a three-wheeled scooter called an Amigo. You'll see these when you go into Target or Walmart. These are the scooters people use if they have trouble getting around. And, they've been used by Itzhak Perlman and Colonel Sanders and really tens of thousands. But if somebody's using that little scooter and say they're being lifted into a ramp in their van, if the ramp breaks, the person will sometimes sue not only the ramp maker, but Amigo, the car maker, the people that pave the parking lot, the grocery store that they happen to be in. And that is the problem today. People are almost made to feel like they're a sap if they don't sue everybody involved. And this is a conversation we got in with the fellow that actually sent us the warning label from the washing machine this year that says don't put people in the washing machine. He was saying he was injured by something else that happened. This was unrelated to the washing machine. And he said people were making him feel guilty for not suing. And we shouldn't. Why have we gotten to a point in our society where we should feel like we have to sue every time something bad happens? You know,
it's like the lottery, I think, for people.
It is. In many ways. Yeah, there is such a thing as negligence, but there's also such a thing as an accident. And before I let you go here, Bob, you mentioned milkshake at McDonald's. I want to hear that story, but I have to correct you. McDonald's doesn't have the word milk on that menu. I know that I worked in a McDonald's 30 years ago as a teenager. You were not allowed to call it a milkshake.
Really?
Yeah.
There's no milk.
Well, I don't know if this is true anymore, but at the time, there was no dairy product in there whatsoever. It was just called a shake.
Okay, well, here, you'll see that this lawsuit has nothing to do with whether there was milk in it or not. Guy goes through a drive-thru at McDonald's, gets a shake and fries, and puts the fries next to him. As he drives away, he gets to a stop sign. He reaches over to get some fries. He squeezes his legs together. The shake pops out. He's startled, obviously, and he hits the accelerator and guns the car, hits the guy in front of him in his car. Now, the guy in front of him doesn't sue him. He sues McDonald's, claiming they should have warned every customer about the dangers of driving with a drink between your legs.
Oh, my goodness. Please tell me that case was dismissed.
That was eventually dismissed, but when the lawyer asked the judge to do what he should have done and award damages and fines to the person who brought this obviously frivolous lawsuit, the judge said, you know, you can't penalize somebody for being creative. That's the gist of the problem. Yes, you can, and we need that. And until they start doing that, we're going to have warning labels that fill up another book like we wrote called The 101 Wackiest Warning Labels Ever.
Yeah. Remove Child Before Folding is the new one from Bob DiRigo-Jones. You can also find his website with more information on this at mlaw.org. Bob, thanks for your time today.
Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. My pleasure. Bob DiRigo-Jones here on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.